So last time I was here, I mentioned to you, I don't know whether anybody remembers, that Billericay was where I was born. So I stayed there just for a little while. And today, because when we're travelling down, we couldn't get through Stock, we had to go via Wickford. And Wickford was where I lived for the first 2 years of my life. So this is part of the pilgrimage to this part of Essex. So needless to say, when we passed the house where I lived, I had no recollection of it at all. But that's just being a two-year-old for you. So thank you very much for welcoming us back here. And Dave is talking at the main church on Perry Road, and you've got me here. So Dave can't claim Essex ancestry, so that's their loss. So last time when I came here, we talked about a project we had in Malawi, and we've now bring to you this project that we're doing in Chad. Obviously we work a lot in Africa, but we also work in India. We've also done work in Bolivia. So it can often feel that the world of charities is so focused on Africa, but we are looking in many different parts of the world. So it seems appropriate, just to make sure everybody's really engaged, is which country do you think Chad is in the numbers? This is the only quiz you're going to get today. So we've got a vote for 8. Anybody else? 10? Any other? 7? Okay. 4, 5. I think you've almost got all the numbers. The answer is 4. Yeah. So next time you have this quiz, you'll be prepared. So here are the answers. So you can see Chad is in the middle, with Sudan on the east, and Niger and Nigeria and Cameroon to the west, the Central African Republic to the south, and Libya to the north. So some interesting neighbours. And we have a country which is in the north, desert, but in the south, far more fertile. And the capital is, you can see up to the left of the screen, is called N'Djamena, and where the red arrow is, Dover, is where the project that we're looking at today is. So, that geographical diversion, we're going to look at a passage from Romans chapter 12. I'll read it first and we'll dive into that. And then we'll link it through to what we're doing at that project we have in Chad. So Romans, as you know, has a lot of heavy stuff going on and heavy theology going on in the first 11 chapters. And as everybody remembers, whenever you've got a therefore in the Bible, you think, what's that therefore? So if you could just think back to those first 11 chapters, and it finishes on the words, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to be the glory of God forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So, God is wanting us to renew our mind. He's calling us first to worship, to be a living sacrifice. So even before you get to the main part of the passage, you think, living sacrifice? My goodness, what on earth does that mean? So holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So you can't be like you were before. You've got to be changing yourself. And that's why it moves into transformation. You've got to renew your mind. And you've got to think, how on earth am I going to renew my mind? What is it that we're going to do to change that? And why are you renewing your mind? So you know what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then through the rest of that passage that I read, it leads out into acts of service. It talks about the body of Christ. It talks about many members. They don't all have the same function. Just as people around in this congregation here, you all have different functions. When we get to what we're looking at in Chad, there are people who've got different skills. So everybody brings something, and it's not, we can't just all be one thing. If all the world were bass players, would it be better? I do like a good bass player. Or all the world singers. So you do need a mixture. So, let's get to Chad. So we're looking here at what does it look like to farm in Africa? This is about regenerative farming. So if you remember, I remembered back in my school days doing something about crop rotation. And a lot of that is what regenerative farming is in Chad. And the reason why it's so important is because it's not very very encouraging for crops there. There are a lot of dangers. Lots of things can make things change. So, for example, it's very, very flat. It's a bit like Cambridgeshire or Lincolnshire. So when there's a rainy season which lasts from May and then culminates in October. And sometimes the water can be ankle deep for miles and miles. That's not very good for the crops. And so it really affects the livelihood, really affects how you plant and what you do. So cast your minds back to 2020 and 2021 when we had COVID. Do you remember going to shops where the shelves were bare? I mean, I looked at that the other day on the internet, and it's almost like another time. But we found we got crops, we got food eventually, but people were struggling. People hoarded loo roll, they hoarded pasta or flour or whatever they needed to do. But what they did was we were really living on the edge. That's what the people face when they do agriculture in some of these countries. So the most important thing is, how can we do it so that we regenerate and farm and deliver these things safely? So this means that we are looking at using manure, we use crop rotation, we rest the soil, we use composting, they plant bananas and mangoes because they can thrive in water. So it's not just a matter of, hey, let's plant some stuff and hope it all goes well and dig it up before the rains come. But you've got to do a lot of different thinking about how you're going to make it all work. So manure on the right. I'm sure people know what that looks like. So let us introduce you to our guy, Francois. Dave, who is leading the service at Perry Road, is a small guy. And to his right is Francois. So this is when Dave went out to visit Dover. So there's a big challenge. Francois was a Christian civil servant, and like many people who are brought up in the country, they want to move to the town. Educated people move away from the country. They try and get other jobs like that. But he came back to establish a farm. He came back to his roots. So he grows cassava, which is on the left, okra in the middle, and can anybody tell me what that crop is on the right? It's a bit of a cheating question. It produces, I think it's called shea butter. So it produces hand lotion and things like that. So he has a variety of different crops. So this is part of his farm. And his farm is very successful because it's based on those regenerative farming principles. So Francois has transformed his way of thinking. He's not just doing something and not thinking about it. He's doing something that transforms himself. And he's realized that not only has he helped himself, but he is helping other people in and around the village where they live. He needs to pass on what he's got. He's worshipping God in delivering his skills and resources. He knew how to do things. He renewed his mind, and he's serving and working with the local church. How can he actually do this, and how can he spread the word? So he's spreading the word about regenerative farming, but he's also spreading the word about Jesus in the local congregation, in the local community. So he's doing something bigger. He's doing something practical. In the Romans passage that we looked at, regenerative farming is not mentioned, nor is bass playing. I'm sure in future versions of the Bible that will be managed. But so he's creating jobs, he's ensuring food security, He's combating poverty, and he's doing it also in response to climate change and some of the challenges we all know about that. So if there were no crops here, if they couldn't feed here, then people would be leaving the countryside and they'll be going to towns. There'll be no food, or there would be a lack of food in the towns, and then other things would happen. And we all know how people are moving from countries that are ravaged by famine into Europe, into other places, and there's so much strife as a result of that. So things being done right at this level to actually generate and maintain and create sustainability in other countries are really important. So, where has your money gone? We've got some fancy wheels. That looks pretty robust to me. A good way of getting round town. But he's using it for the community. So we help buy that. Those are solar panels. They're used for helping pump water and create electricity, obviously. And you can see to the right how lush some of the crops are. And whilst it doesn't look like the standards of what we have in the West, we've provided and used resources to buy and build accommodation which provide teaching facilities for students to attend residential training. So here is a well with some pastors. Always a good biblical illustration to have wells and pastors next to each other. I wouldn't know how to use a well, would you? Anyway, so this is part of how do they irrigate the land, and Francois is working with other pastors to help them create income. Now, if you remember back to the message I brought last year, you'll know that the pastor in Malawi, he's running a shop. He's running a shop to create income to be able to do what he needs to do. There's no paid pastor's jobs around. You have to have your own job, and then you do your Christian work alongside that. Now this is a local Bible college. Francois is on the board of the college, and there's residential accommodation as well. So he's not only regenerating the land, but he's providing resources and materials and leadership into building up the Christian community out there in Chad. And where there are pastors, there are also retired pastors. So there's probably not much of a pension mechanism out in Chad, is my guess. So he's helping other pastors to be able to work the land and create other income. So you can see the project is really transforming the area. We're not just there to give him things, we're there to help him to then help the community. And at a certain point, he won't need any funds from us because he's got all the skills and technology, and he will be endowing the other people in that area in the same fashion, and then they will be able to go on and create sustainability. So you can look with real pride at what you've been able to do, not only in Malawi, as we mentioned last year, but also projects like this. And we work really hard, go there to hand them stuff and then feed them for a day. We're really trying to create sustainable communities that make a very big difference. And there's lots of challenges with this. We can't stop the rain, we can't stop other things, but if we can train them and work with other partners to help increase their skill base, then people really benefit. So we really thank you very much for your support there. So when you look at what Francois has done and look at what we had in the passage, just how much are you all in for Jesus? I feel really bad saying that, because I know that I'm the least all-in person I know. But whenever I read these passages, I know that, you know, I've got to do a lot more. There's a lot more to be done. And when you think, am I a living sacrifice? How am I renewing my mind? What does that mean? I think I've got a better understanding of what my gifts are, but am I using them, and am I really spreading that skill to other people to benefit them, not just to benefit me? So I'll leave you with those thoughts, and then I'll close in prayer in a moment. Father, thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you that we are well off and we are looked after. But we thank you so much that there are people who we've been able to help through gifts and prayer and teaching, that are able to make real differences in communities around the world. And we thank you for the very rich blessings you've given to them, and that they will be multiplied. Amen.